We spoke about this a little bit last night and the night before, the fact that we seem to be engineering ourselves out of jobs with the likes of trials for driverless cars in the mining pits. We're seeing driverless trucks and the like. And in Coffs Harbour, they're talking about some sort of driverless transport system that's going to get people from the jetty area to Mutton Bird Island, if you're familiar with Coffs Harbour. But a recent study by the Institute for the Future estimates that 85% of the jobs we'll be doing in 12 years from now haven't even been invented yet. In fact, most of us could be out of a job if we don't start to change the way we look at things. Tim Ferriss is a strategic leadership advisor and joins us to talk about this. That's a frightening statistic, Tim.
It is a little unsettling when you look at it on face value like that, for sure.
I guess the real question is that, is this something we've just got to accept that's inevitable, or can we start to slow things down a bit?
To a degree, I think there is an inevitability about it. Just to give you an idea of what's driving some of that, at the moment, technical knowledge on average doubles every 13 months. So every 13 months, the amount that we know technically doubles. And with the Internet of Things, with, you know, all sorts of different devices from your home fridge to oil rigs and every you know, pump on an oil rig being connected in some way, what that's going to mean not too far from now is that knowledge will actually double every 12 hours. To give you another idea, the amount of data that we will just generate in this calendar year will be more than we have generated in the last 5,000 years combined.
Wow.
So that is a momentum that there is really not a lot of chance of arresting. It's coming to us whether we like it or not.
There seems to be, from my understanding, a disconnect in the way we think about this, because one study apparently showed that two-thirds of us believe computers or robots are going to do much of the work in the next 50 years, but 80% of it believe that it won't affect our jobs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So our heads are very much in the clouds in regards to this. I think 84%, I think the figure is, are concerned that automation will affect future job prospects, but 77% of us believe that we won't need to change jobs or careers in the next 10 years. So our heads are in it. We believe it's going to happen, but we don't believe it's going to happen to us.
Are there any jobs that are future-proof?
The ones that are more likely are those that actually involve the humans. So jobs that involve developing and growing humans. So one of the things that happens with such rapid rates of change is people's levels of stress and anxiety tends to increase. And so people need help. People need coaches. They need counselors. They need people to help them, support them through journeys of change, which they haven't been equipped for in their life up until this point. I mean, I don't know too many engineers that as part of their university training have been taught how to manage change and how to deal with, you know, new technology, and taught the mindsets of learning agility. I mean, the Institute for the Future study also said that the ability to learn is actually going to be valued more than the knowledge they currently have.
People in their 50s and 60s probably don't have to worry too much about this, but what age group is really, I guess, in the firing line?
Oh, I would probably just... People in their 50s, I would say you need to keep open simply because we're retiring later than we've ever retired later. So there's a chance that a 50-year-old may have 15 to 18 years left in their career, whereas, you know, in years gone by, you would only have 5 left in your career.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, from a superannuation perspective, your latter years are really, really important for your quality of life later. And if you end up essentially being forced to retire because you don't have necessary skills, you know, even 5 years early, that can make a massive difference to your quality of life, you know, into your later 60s and 70s. And we're also living longer. So I certainly wouldn't say to you people in your 50s that you can rest on your laurels. You know, in your 60s, you're probably on a fairly good chance that you will walk out the other side not too bad. But particularly, even if you're in your early 50s, I would say you really need to be learning how to learn if you don't know that already.
Okay, so what do we do? Talk to us in practical terms. What do we have to do to prepare ourselves for this scary and unknown future?
So it sounds a little bit nebulous, but the idea that we actually need to learn how to learn all over again. Carol Dweck is a researcher that's talked a lot about the difference between what we call a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And often, you know, by the time we get to our 50s, we can think, well, I know enough to get by now. And, you know, I really can't cope with much more. I'm kind of in my zone. And I think that's a dangerous place. So starting to invest in our own curiosity again, you know, sometimes just learning something, like go and learn a language, go and learn a new hobby, go and do something that just starts to exercise your brain and get you comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable. Because right. when we get into that fixed mindset place, we're really comfortable with what we know, and with what we don't know, we're uncomfortable. But in order to learn, I actually need to become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
So we almost need to go through a second childhood of sorts.
It might be helpful, you know, because we might find it fun.
Okay. What sort of direction should we be looking at? I mean, we always talk about, you know, reskilling and the likes, and, you know, various people losing jobs in certain sectors and having to move. Is there a particular direction you think we should move in? Because, look, not everybody's going to be able to be a life coach or a psychologist or somebody like that. Where do we go? I mean, what should we be looking at?
So I think one of the things to do for people is to look at what are the skills that you have. And normally we've applied them to a particular area or a particular industry. But sometimes the skills that we do have are applicable a lot broader than what we think. So sometimes getting some good career advice around with someone who understands the trends and patterns in your industry and is able to sit with you and go, okay, what are the skills that you do have and where are the other areas you can apply those skills, can be a helpful thing. You know, if you're an expert in one particular kind of technology that could easily be disrupted, that's a dangerous place to be. But chances are, if you're an expert in a particular kind of technology, there's smaller skill sets. You know, maybe it's around electronics, maybe it's, whatever it is. With someone that can help you to understand these skills are applicable elsewhere.
So it's about learning what your own adaptability is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And adaptability is a key word that goes all the way back to, you know, Charles Darwin's theory of natural selection. Those who are able to actually adapt to their environment actually thrive and survive. And it's really no different now. So this whole idea of I need to adapt to survive is as old as humanity, as old as living organisms on the earth.
Well, Tim, I'm going to put a positive spin on it and say it's not scary, it's exciting. Great to talk to you.
I think so too. Great to talk to you, Stephen.
Thanks
for having me.
All the best. That's Tim Ferriss, a strategic leadership advisor. What do you think your skills are adaptable for? If you've got a set of skills, where do you think you could employ them in the future? Give me a call. 132710 is the number.